My name is Markus Beckedahl, and my guest today is Jeremine Zimmermann from La Quadrature du Net. Hi.
Hello.
We want to talk about several issues. In the beginning, we want to talk about La Quadrature du Net. You know, what is this about? Then something about the digital rights community in France, and of course about the telecom package second reading in the European Parliament in the next months. Let's start with La Quadrature du Net. What is it about?
Okay, hello everybody. We founded La Quadrature du Net as a citizen initiative 10 months ago in order to inform the public, general public, as well as the elected representatives about some law projects that we consider are harmful for civil liberties in the digital environment. When Nicolas Sarkozy got elected as the president of France, we had the very bad feeling that many of his work will go into the direction of serving private interests over the general interest, and we weren't disappointed on this. Actually, it was almost written in his candidacy program, but as soon as he got elected, he pushed for a very stupid scheme you've heard about called graduated response, or three strikes, which is a great idea, you know, to fight that evil piracy that harms so much all the good industries of our world. Actually, he commissioned a study by a guy called Denis Oliven, who at the time was the CEO of Fnac, the biggest retail chain of superstores for CD and DVD. So he gave him a mission to make a study about how to fight illegal downloading. So there was no question asked whether downloading could be helpful or neutral, or new models could arise from it. No, right from the beginning, the question was about illegal downloading. And without any surprise, the conclusion was, oh, it's a tragedy, and you have to make this thing called graduated response, where instead of going to court, because going to court for the entertainment industry wasn't that successful in the past years, you create an administrative authority whose objective is to bypass judicial authority. Then, with direct contact with this administrative authority, the entertainment industry lobbies or representatives send direct requests saying, oh, this address IP was downloading this kind of stuff at this specific time, please do something. And then the administrative authority send an email, then a letter, and then asks for the disconnection of the internet user, with impossibility for reconnection for up to 12 months, which is extremely harsh and disproportionate sanction. We don't even need to talk here about the sanction, as everybody realizes how important an internet connection is for everyday life. For e-commerce, for e-banking, for e-administration, for e-life, for everything. But beyond the sanction by itself, the very nature of the process where you bypass the judicial authority, that is the guardian of the civil liberties, is very, very troubling, because it really shows that private interests, for with totally wrong judgment, can impose restrictions over fundamental rights and freedom, such as the right to a balanced trial, such as the right to privacy. And this is very disturbing. For the right about privacy, this administrative authority has the very special power to access any stored traffic data from any internet service provider about any user. They can access it without the judicial authority anytime. And such a power in France only exists in certain police units fighting against terrorism. So this very specific administrative authority will have some of the power of the anti-terrorism, and all for the entertainment industry. So yeah, this was very problematic.
And when, what is the current level, or the current status?
So, we founded La Quadrature when we had a leaked version of the first draft of this law. Until then, it evolved not that much and was presented in Senate, the first reading, in an emergency procedure. Because, you know, there is always an emergency when it comes to saving such entertainment industries. So it means there will be only one reading, once in the French Senate and once in the French Assemblée Nationale. So it has been read in the French Senate and it has unanimously been voted by senators who were completely, completely out of any kind of understanding of the issues. Propaganda was all around. And even the socialist group led by Catherine Tasca, who is a former Ministry of Culture, this is just a coincidence, voted for this very disturbing text. So they're quite confident that the following reading in the Assemblée Nationale will be quite comfortable for them. And we surely hope that it will not. We're working right now at informing some members of the parliament in every political party. So at least there will be some debate. Hopefully there would be some amendments that would try to reestablish a kind of balance. But you can take the problem from many different angles. And the only way for respecting the civil rights of the citizens would be just to remove that law project. There is no way of patching it for becoming a good thing. It's a wrong answer to a wrong problem. Because as you know, the so-called piracy, the sharing of files between individuals doesn't harm the artists. It only harms the people whose business model is of selling copies. And in digital environment, copies are going free. So it's there. It's for them to change the business model. And we cannot change the laws so in order to make it acceptable. But at least we hope there will be a debate. To continue a bit on La Quadrature, as soon as we began our action, we looked for support among different organizations, international and national, among which are EFF, Open Society Institute, Privacy International, Asociación de Internautas in Spain, Netzwerk Freies Wissen in Germany, Open Rights Group in England, etc., in order, right from the beginning of our action, to be able to propagate the information we create to a European network of concerned people. Right from the beginning, we consider that La Quadrature might become a toolbox for people to get information, to get synthetic material, and to get instructions on how to take action and how to take care about those issues. And a few weeks after the beginning of our action, you know, it was the French presidency of the European Union from July to December 2008. So we were at this stage in May. And we were advised that there was a modification of the European regulation of communication networks, namely the telecoms package. And we were advised that in the Culture Commission of the European Parliament, some weird amendments were going on. It's a total random series of events that led us to get those amendments at a very early stage. And we came to five different bricks, when taken independently, look completely harmless. But when you assemble the puzzle, when you get the big picture, it was exactly the same scheme as the French graduate response. So we inquired, and then we were transmitted a letter sent by the lobbyists of the French cinema to the members of the Culture Commission, saying, oh, please vote those. This is an intelligent solution for fighting piracy. And so at first we said, oh, there is graduated response in the telecoms package. And everybody said, oh, you're paranoid, you're talking nonsense, it can't be. And then we published the letter. So we managed to prove what we were saying and got a bit more credit into saying this. And then we made some noise about this issue. We produced analysis of the so-called amendments. And then we had an opinion by the EDPS, the European Data Protection Supervisor, who is the Data Protection Authority for Europe, that actually confirmed 99% of an analysis in his opinion, saying, oh, there is graduated response related amendments. They are problematic for privacy, and there were actually some other problems with privacy where private actors would be allowed to collect and process traffic data for security purpose. So at this stage, I think the noise we made really helped the position of the EDPS to be published. Then when it was published, we made some noise around the position, and we managed this way to maintain a kind of informational spiral, making noise about these issues. And at some point we participated into the elaboration and tabling of an amendment called Amendment 138. Your auditors might have heard about that was a kind of silver bullet against the graduated response. And it actually said that no other authority than the judicial authority can put restriction over essential rights and freedom. So no administrative authority could restrict your privacy or restrict your right to a fair trial or maybe restrict your right to an internet access if we come to consider this as essential freedom. And hopefully this amendment was voted to 88% of the members of the European Parliament, which was a big success for us. And as well as many amendments that we highlighted as being nefarious, harmful, that were rejected, and many of the good amendments we pointed that were voted. So the text is not perfect yet. Actually, after the first reading in the European Parliament, there was a first reading by the Council. And you know, the Council is this very weird European specificity where all the ministers of the 27 countries gather and vote. So they're both executive and legislative body, and I think this is problematic, but this is another topic. So when the Council of Ministers vote, actually they vote a compromise, a political agreement that was agreed by the diplomatic bodies of the different countries beforehand. And so no wonder that after very, very high pressure applied by the French presidency and by Nicolas Sarkozy himself towards the European Commission and toward all the diplomatic bodies of the 27 states, the Amendment 138 was removed. It was the only removal of an amendment that didn't have an explanation in the compromise text of the Council. But fortunately, I guess that this removal was agreed in a trade, you know, in a deal, and that other parts of the deal was some more removal of more disturbing parts. So the overall text now is quite good compared to what it was and to what it might have been, but it's still not perfect. So I guess this is the other part you wanted to talk about, that is the second reading of the telecoms package. It is in progress right now. The schedule is very tight because the parliament wants it to be voted before the next parliament is elected. So the vote will happen in April, most probably, and the vote in commission will happen as early as the beginning of March. So it's now, and mostly during the months of February, that will happen most of the negotiations. And our experience show that the most early you come into the process with your arguments and propositions, the more chances you get to influence it. In commission, you got maybe 30 or 40 people while they are voting, and only one MEP can put an amendment. So if you manage to put one of your amendments in commission and it is voted, then it will be in the final report and have very high chances of being voted. If you want an amendment to be voted in plenary, then you need 40 signatures of 40 MEPs, which is very much harder to reach. So to make a summary of what's left now in the package and what are the problems we need to address in this second reading. First of all, that very dreadful notion of lawful content. It was an artifice of language, an artifice of wording that was all around the text of the telecoms package in the first reading. Service providers shall inform their subscribers of any restriction to access to lawful content that might blah 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 blah. And so by using this word restriction to access of lawful content, the entertainment industry managed to introduce this very fuzzy notion that is subject to very broad interpretation, where in the interpretation during the transposition by the member states, could be used for implementing filtering or any kind of very dangerous schemes and process. So we fought against this notion of lawful content, and it was written something like 15 to 20 times in the overall telecoms package. It's now only 3 times left. And with the debates we triggered, everybody agreed that telecoms package was not the proper place for talking about the content. Telecoms package is about the pipes, the tubes, but not about the content. So as everybody agreed, the rapporteur, the shadow rapporteur, the commissioners, I think it might be easy to remove those 3 notions of lawful content that are there. Another issue is, of course, the Amendment 138. It's a matter of principle. Everybody agreed that Amendment 138 recalled what were fundamental principles of the European law. And as they're subject to debate right now, with the law being voted in France, and if they recall the existing law, there's no reason that it wouldn't be written. Plus, for the Parliament, I think it might become a big political issue. Because if something voted by 88% of the Parliament can just be erased, you know, or stroke with one stroke of a pen, and nobody reacts, then the citizens, the voters, might legitimately ask themselves, what is this parliament useful for? So I think the parliament really have to react on this and show to the citizens that it is here to protect their rights and their freedom. And revoting this Amendment 138 is the best way that they can do this, I think. So here it's really a really big political issue. And yet there is another problematic issue. I talked briefly about this earlier, is an amendment on the e-privacy directive on Article 6.6 that allows any private company to collect and process any kind of traffic data on the internet for security purposes. So here again, you get the trick of using very broad wording. But what is very disturbing is that the version from the council goes back here again on some safeguards that were voted by the European Parliament. The first version was Amendment 130. It was really bad. Then the EDPS, the data protection supervisor, gave, in his opinion, a very strong advice against this, and suggested safeguards. Those safeguards were Amendment 181. It was voted by the Parliament, and then it was removed to something that is even worse than the 130, very few details. So hopefully, in the very last days, there was another opinion by the EDPS that extensively talked about this issue on the points 76 to 86. You can find his opinion. Probably it will be linked on Netzpolitik. And so with this material, I think it will be quite easy to convince the members of the European Parliament, you know, that they shall follow this guy who knows, obviously, about privacy. That's his job, is a European institution by himself. So I really hope the Parliament will follow the guy. So this is for the clear threats. That
there's another threat, net neutrality.
Yes, this one is more diffuse for now. It's unclear now what form it will take, but we got some very strong hints that very bad amendments will come at the committee stage to harm the network neutrality. Basically, what we saw were some special authorization for restriction to access to content. And the pretext here is a reasonable network management practice. So it's the operators ask this, and they ask this probably in order to be able to sell differentiated access, different sub-internets for different kind of users. If you pay, I don't know, it's just an example, but maybe if you pay 19 euros a month, you only will have Google, Yahoo, and MSN. And if you pay 29, then you got Wikipedia. And if you pay 39, then you get all the rest of the internet. You know, this is the worst you can do to harm the very structure of internet and its model of growth, of knowledge sharing and of wealth building. So this is a very, very stupid thing to do. And I hope we will be able to convince the members of European Parliament that this is something they really need to safeguard the citizens against. So keep tuned, because in the next week we will have probably much more information about this. And here again, we will provide informational content and campaign material for everybody to understand those issues, to transmit this and to take action.
Yeah, let's come to this part of the interview. First, LaQuadrature.net is a wiki-based organization. So the main tool is a wiki. Can you explain something about that for the beginning?
Mm-hmm. I need to correct you on this point, because it's not mainly wiki-based. And actually, historically, it began, I can give technical detail to our
auditors. Yeah, sure.
It began by a Drupal website. Mm-hmm. So Drupal is a content management system that is quite flexible and handy and that I personally like very much. And we began this as a Hormond blog. So a blog with lots of fine-tuned taxonomy terms, with specific items for making a press review, for differentiated rights for differentiated users, with quotes rotating on the homepage, so a bit of an elaborate blog, where the objective was for us to be able ourselves to find back the information once we have published it. But then we very quickly added the MediaWiki platform. And so for all our day-by-day work, the wiki is a very, very useful tool. And then the wiki is the core of all the campaigns we did. So I guess this is why you said that a website is mainly wiki-based, because many people only saw La Quadrature through its wiki when there were campaigns. So yeah, for campaigning, it's great to use a wiki, because I write a campaign page in English, then some people come and improve it, then some other people come and add some links, and then some other people come and translate it in German, then in Spanish, then in French. And so we really, in a very short period of time, managed to build a lot of content out of it. For instance, one of the first items I put on the campaign page about the first reading of Telecom's package was an example phone conversation saying, "Hello, my name is blah blah blah, I want to know what Mr. MEP thinks about this and this and that. Oh, it's not available right now, but I really want to know, so can you ask me and maybe I call," etc. And so we gave this example and many persons used it. And very quickly, you know that the people in the parliament are very intelligent people and very much used to talking, and also very easily they found a way to close the door to those people calling, saying, "Oh yeah, we'll get back to you," or "No, there is no problem. I assure you there is no problem. The rapporteur said this and that. Everything is okay." And so as soon as people reported us what were the blocking arguments that were exposed to them, we collected them and we wrote the counter arguments. And I remember spending half a day collecting blocking arguments and writing the counter-blocking arguments. So in real time, we were kind of debugging the process of the campaign going on. Plus, there is a very, very interesting tool that was developed by Gérald Cédraté-Dinet, Gibus, who was a long-time activist in FFII, that is based on the wiki also. It's a collection of wiki pages called Mémoire Politique, Political Memory. It's a kind of super phone book where you can find a reference of any of the members of the European Parliament, of all the members of the French Parliament, who are linked by party, by commission, by floors in the European Parliament. And every possible information is subject to link that give special pages, etc. There on every MEP's page, we add quotes from the positions it took on our issues, and we had a score that he got while voting on our issues. So for each vote, you know, there are some roll call votes where instead of just raising the hands, the MEPs press the buttons, kind of electronic voting. So we managed to get many of the roll call votes triggered on every amendment that interested us. So we got a very precise record of who voted what on the Telecoms package. Then we assigned coefficients according to the importance of the various amendments. And then we get a score from 0 to 100 of all the MEPs. And by going to laquadrature.net/wiki/political_memory with a big P and big M, but yeah, I think it will be linked on Netspolitik, you can see very precisely the results. And for the next campaigns, it will be very helpful to see maybe your MEP from your party in your country that voted the worst, and start from this one, and or at the opposite, look at the one from your country that voted the best, and call him and say, okay, you know already, but I tell you that there is this and this more. Can you talk about this with your colleagues, etc.? So it's a great tool to find the people to call at the right moment. So we are very much working on this kind of tools. This one happens to be wiki-based, but it could have been anything else, actually. But those tools that really make the campaigning easier. Actually, maybe I shall not talk about this. Oh, okay, this is exclusive for Netspolitik. Gibus is now working on a tool that is a database of paragraphs of law text. So he's recording in his database every paragraph of every version of every directive of the telecoms package.
Oh, it's CBN.
It's, yeah, kind of SVN that changed the colors according to the modification. And then you can instantaneously access, I guess, 40 pages that are the diff pages. So the version proposed by the Commission versus the version voted by the European Parliament, or the version voted by the European Parliament versus the version agreed by the Council, etc., etc. And this for tracking what is going on and for understanding the amendments, yeah, and just keeping track of the whole is, I think, incredible resource. And I think that many people inside the political parties and inside the Parliament, when they will see this tool, will open big eyes and, yeah, be very impressed.
Let's come to another thing. Now, before the second reading, how can people get involved in the campaign?
This is a very good question.
Yeah, thank you.
There are many ways of getting involved. So, it first gives me the occasion to continue on the platform aspect, because I forgot some of it. We got a mailing list, discussion@laquadrature.net. You can access it through our main page. So this is a good starting point in order to get information on what's going on. There's not much traffic for the moment, but we will use it at the right moment. We got, of course, RSS feed. People can subscribe to in order to know what's happening when there is some action to be taken. And I'm working right now at some control panel, where all the infos of the telecoms package will be displayed, including a small box, take action, very simple things to do. So watch this, they will be linked on the front page of La Quadrature in the next few days or weeks. We also got an IRC channel that is pound La Quadrature on irc.freenode.net. So you can come here and speak English, and we will all speak English there, even if the channel is mostly French at the moment, but we're always glad to have visitors. So this is for the everyday work, so to say. One other very, very important aspect is to relay our information. When we publish an important news about the telecoms package, to republish it on blogs, to send it to journalists, to send it to people you know in the political party, or to send it to your MEP saying, oh, I think they're right and I'm concerned, please do something. So just the very simple action of cut paste of information is something that is extremely, extremely helpful. Then the more you want to get involved, the more tasks are open for you to take, from translation to helping us with correction when sometimes we write broken English in our text, which happens quite frequently, to helping maintaining the wiki, to adding items for press review. This is another tool that was custom built, where there's a bot on our RSC channel, and when somebody put the exclamation mark RP, like Revue de Presse, and a URL, it is added to web interface when we can prioritize them, making extra point for very important news. We are added automatic URLs taken from Google News, and then with one click you publish this as a node in Drupal that requires edition, and it's quite handy. And the more people will help us by submitting URL, the more our press review will be helpful. And so contact us, relay your information, and be watchful. Never lose your attention. And
oh, we forgot two things. One thing, we need better designers, or more designers, and that not we as nerds and geeks have to design too. And the second thing, contact your MEPs.
Yes, I think contacting your MEPs is something you can do even outside a campaign. And this is of course a very interesting point you're making. You can just contact your MEP anytime, saying, "Hello, I live in the country where you were elected, and I watch what was done over the telecoms package, and I think it is important. And either I thank you for your vote, or I hope you will vote well next time, and I'm available to help you if you need any information." And even if it doesn't reply, even if it doesn't ask you for more information, then the day you will call saying, "Oh, there is a problem now, you must go do something," you can call and say, "Oh, you remember I sent this email?" And, "No, I don't remember." "Well, I sent this email." And let's look. It's a way of opening a channel of communication that I think is interesting. And yes, you're right, Marcus. We need graphic designers. And I do most of the graphic design by myself. And sometimes with luck, sometimes with bad taste. And and whatever happens, I would really be happy not to have to do it. So whatever is your field of activity, if you feel concerned, come and talk with us, and we will find things for you to do to participate. There's no doubt about this.
And what happens after the second reading?
Oh, there will be other bad legislations, for sure. I think the issue of content filtering is one big issue. You just had a few days ago announced in Germany that think of the children, the child pornography has to be filtered. So of course everybody is against child pornography, but everybody who knows the structure of the internet knows that the only way to fight against it is to remove the websites, by making the police and the justice system of different countries work better together. And that's the only way. Blocking content only is the equivalent to put a hand in front of the eyes of people for them not to see things. You know, they will always be able to move their head or find some other way. And this will open new ways for people to make business by offering access to the blocked website and some very nasty, intolerable things. So, of course, this child pornography thing is a very emotional topic that is used a bit like the terrorism. You know, nobody will oppose legislation against terrorism because terrorism is so frightening. So child pornography is a bit of the same with internet. And I think it's a foot in the door in order to make acceptable the idea that content might be filtered on the internet. It's a foot in the door that will force the internet service providers to put in place the infrastructure required for doing the content filtering. And I think this is an open door to the worst censorship and evil things we can imagine. So we have to be very watchful. This might come someday, maybe soon, in the European Parliament. And yeah, always be watchful and never ever give up.
Another question, my time is running, unfortunately. When I take a look to France, and it's always a look with speech barriers, because my French is not that good, I think there are very much activities by copywriters. So by people gets involved from the digital rights movement to debate the copyright wars. Is it a real view from outside? And if it's like this, why are there so many people? When I take a look to Germany, I know every 5 people who are involved for digital rights and copyrights.
So first of all, your French is probably better than my German. Don't worry. Well. It's a tricky question. I think France has this reputation of being, you know, the homeland for droit d'auteur, author's right. It has historically been the first country in 1791, I think 2 years after the revolution, to get a law about author's right, to define the concept of author's right. So yeah, maybe it's kind of cultural tradition to care about those issues. Whether, for instance, you in Germany are very, very strong and very active on privacy issue. Maybe it's because you encountered the Stasi at some point in your history, so people know what is the value of privacy. And I think that it's a good thing that everybody got its own specialty, so to say, because when it comes to act together on an issue such as the telecoms package, for instance, we French people were very active on the content issue. When the ACAVOAT issued opinions on the privacy issues, and collectively we got to get a complementarity that I think is very interesting. The British, for instance, had this culture of doubting and questioning, and for a very long time were doubting of our analysis whether a graduate response was or not in the telecoms package. And at first they weren't active at all. And then at the very, very right moment, they published an analysis made by top UK cyber lawyers that helped us very much, that confirmed our analysis, and then they got into the fight. So you see, everyone has its own culture and way of looking at things, and I think that the key to success is that making everybody work together. But for the specificity of France, actually today we got a very strong association for promoting and defending free software that just reached yesterday the barrier of 4,000 members, including 150 corporate members such as Google, Thales, Sun Microsystems.
What's the name?
It's April. Okay. April. So I think France is quite advanced right now for the promotion of free software, for instance. But on the pure copy fight issue, I'm not sure I see who you are talking about.
Oh, when we take
during,
a look back,
yeah,
to peer-to-peer back. Fights.
Yeah, exactly. So this was the DAVSI law, Droit d'auteur, Droit voisin, Société d'information, the ADVSI. That was a transposition of the EUCD
European Copyright Directive.
Yeah, EUCD Directive. And so at this stage was the EUCD.info initiative that was co-founded by Christophe Espern, who is the co-founder of La Quadrature du Net, who I worked with at this time on the EU. But at this time, it was a very, very small initiative. I mean, Christophe did all the work alone for 2 or 3 years before I joined him. It was in 2005. So it was at this stage already a very small group of people acting on it, and not it became huge, and the campaigning was huge and had great resonance in the media and success, but at the beginning it was the work of very, very few people. And I think this is another thing that we demonstrate, that very few people with very strong motivation and good knowledge of their issues and few sleep can achieve great things.
Yeah, that's also my review. And yeah, unfortunately, I could speak much longer with you, but I have to leave now. So maybe we find a time to get an update during the lobbying activities in Brussels.
I'm sure we'll have many occasions, either in Berlin, in Paris, or in Brussels. And yeah.
Yeah, so I wish you good luck and much success. And if you have listened or the podcast, yeah, think about getting involved and become part of the campaign.
Thank you very much, Max.
Thank you.